I don't want to begin this message without acknowledging what's going on. We're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit and the prayer list today, but it's been very disturbing what's been happening in our nation. And it's been very disturbing watching the images from Washington, D.C. and L.A., Atlanta, Minnesota. I'm not one to watch the news very much. I will read articles, and that's how I get my news. But I turned it on last night, and for about an hour and a half, all I could do was watch as they went from city to city showing what was going on, and even watching a lot of live things happening out in front of the White House last night, and just the expressions of anger, of hurt, of frustration, all that is going on in our society. And we need to acknowledge something that is part of the human spirit, and that is when there is pain and hurt and anger over things that happen in life, we can respond out very emotionally with a different spirit in a lot of ways that can cause a lot of injustice to people that had nothing to do with the problem, with a lot of inconsideration, with a lot of rudeness, with a lot of things that come out of our flesh because we ourselves are hurting, we ourselves are angry, and then it just starts exploding on whoever's there. And we see this in little ways maybe in our day-to-day life where maybe mom and dad have an argument and suddenly one of them's yelling at the kids, right? And we see it in little ways, but we're seeing it in very national ways. There's been a lot of frustration already built up within our country, and then you add this fuel to the fire and it just starts taking off, and you can just see the amount of lawlessness that is taking place because injustice begets injustice unless the Spirit of God stands in the gap to transform injustice to God's form of justice. We need the Spirit of God in order for there to be righteousness, justice, and peace. And when we go into this Holy Spirit prayer list today, I want you to just be prayerful for the people that are going through what they're going through and the people that are being incited and the people that are being persecuted and for the destruction that is taking place, that we would be mindful of our nation and mindful of a people, because the only answer to this problem is God. The only answer comes through Jesus Christ, a revelation that an injustice will not right an injustice, but rather how do we come before God as Christians to be a light when there is injustice. And it was so neat to see a group of young ladies standing last night at the White House and trying to put a hedge of protection between those who wanted violence and police officers and saying, no, I'm not going to let this happen. They wouldn't break hands. They wouldn't let people through that were bent on wanting to hurt. And the thing is, there's in times where we have to stand and we don't always know which way, what to do, and how to do it. But I think as a people, we should always be looking to God for the leadership that we need in times of injustice, especially in times of personal pain and hurt. And this is why it says that the Spirit of the Lord came on Jesus to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to unbound those who are oppressed. Because if he doesn't do this, what you see is a manifestation of that sin and that injustice continuing on, and it perpetuates. Because sin tends to beget sin. And that's where Christ stands in as a new seed, to beget something new in our lives. And we must be refreshed in him and refreshed in the Spirit day by day, lest what overtake us is wrong being built up in our own lives. And whether we're talking about what's happening in our society or we're talking about what might be happening in your personal life, maybe in your own homes, in your marriages, with your kids, with your siblings, there's a reality that comes that if you don't deal with sin, sin will beget more sin. Injustice begets more injustice, because the way of man is always kind for kind. And that's why Jesus said, what credit is it to you if you only love those who love you, or if you only greet those who greet you? If you're only doing what others do to you, you've got exactly what the world is. That's what it is. What makes Christianity different is we have the relationship with God our Father through Jesus Christ, our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, We are not subject to the things of this world. It can be well through hardship and through hard times, because the victories will not come in a world of injustice. Victories come through Jesus Christ. And the good news is the kingdom will come, because Christ will return and establish a kingdom that shall not end, where there is no more crying, where there is no more pain, where there is no more tears, where there is no more death. And don't you ever lose sight of what we're doing here. And don't get tricked by the government or by any form of government of man or any form of injustice to why you are here and what you are called to do. Everybody's trying to knock you off course right now, and you got to stay put on who you are seeking. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and not be deterred by the things that are going on the earth. We have to rise above it by the power of the Holy Spirit to remember who we are and why we're here and what are we to be doing. We are not to be instilling fear. We are to be turning people to Jesus Christ, to instill the confidence that comes and the boldness by the blood of Christ and by the Holy Spirit to be at a different place in heart, in mind, and spirit. Where does justice come from? From the Spirit within. Where does peace come from? The Spirit within. And that's how it happens. It happens one person at a time. And what we see in injustice, it's like the planet Earth. It's in darkness. It's without form. It's void. It can do no good. It can bring forth no life. That is a life without the Spirit of God. And when you realize that to be without the Spirit of God is just like the planet Earth in Genesis 1:1, it's void. It's dark. It can do no good. And that is where we are in the desperation we have for Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit, is because we know that is where we are without Him. We are unjust. We are harmful. We sin. We fall short of God's glory. But God has revealed a beautiful way to us of life. And that way of life is for us. And we cannot lose sight of what we are here to do. We fight not evil with evil, nor injustice with injustice, but we overcome evil with good. Amen. So let's get into this spirit prayer list. I hope that you are remembering to be praying through this list. I'm encouraging you as we go through this prayer list and as you go through your week, set that alarm. I appreciate had Stephen over to the house. I guess I just outed him that we weren't sheltering in place. Sorry about that. But he had an alarm set, and he happened to be at my house at the time to pray. And it was a beautiful thing that we could just pause and just pray together. And just remember that we need to be asking God for His help and His Spirit. And so we're going through this list. And again, the main purpose of this is not just to give, I got to pray this point. It's to realize all the things that God has promised to you and shown you what He does by His Spirit through the lives of His servants, His saints. And you are His saints if indeed you believe in Him and turn to Him for the Spirit in your life. And God does so many amazing and miraculous things in the lives of His servants and wants to be engaged. But the question is, will you receive Jesus Christ? And will you believe in the things? And will you ask, not just because He says to, but ask with an expectation of faith that you indeed will receive what you need when you need it? You might not always know when you will receive one of these things. Certainly the servants saw God act in many wonderful ways. The Spirit came in many wonderful ways. God acted. But what was going on is that people were looking to God and sometimes not looking to God, but seeing God work in their lives. And the prayer should be, God, if you give good gifts to those who ask and you will not withhold your Spirit from those who desire it, bless me with your Spirit, that I could be a blessing to you. Bless me with your Spirit that I can be a blessing to someone else. Bless me with your Spirit that I can minister to others, to preach the good news, that I can share the word. Bless me with your Spirit. And so when we look through this list, we're going to continue to update it on the website each week. And as we go through it for today, what I want us to do is start in the book of Acts in chapter 19. We are all the way up to point number 68 here today. Acts chapter 19. And as we come into Acts chapter 19, I want you to notice with me here in verse 2, it says this, Acts 19, verse 2, Paul said to them, he found some disciples here at Ephesus, and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So we don't ever want that to be the case in this church. There is a Holy Spirit. I want you to hear about the Holy Spirit. All right. So he said to them, "Into what have you been baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Now, I want you to think about the answer, because John, remember, he was going about with a baptism of repentance. Jesus himself went to John to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. But what John was baptizing into was a baptism of repentance. Remember what John, though, said. There was one coming after who would baptize with what? Spirit and fire. And so Jesus is the one who provides a baptism with spirit, more than just the baptism of water. And while being baptized into Jesus' name is important, also know the Holy Spirit was where Paul's concern was. Because how could you be a disciple apart from the Spirit of God? Then Paul said to them, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized," that is, in water, "in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied." Baptized into Jesus and baptized into the Holy Spirit. So the thing to pray for here is that the Spirit would come upon a person at baptism when we lay hands on them. See, the baptism is something that is necessary, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it comes by Jesus Christ. It comes by a desire and a faith in him, and he does the baptizing. He's the one that baptizes still. To whom does the Holy Spirit come to? But those who believe by faith, and those who believe in Jesus, that baptism is promised. And so let's pray that when we are ministering, that we always remember it's not a ministry of man. It is a ministry from God in heaven, because none of us take the spirit of our own selves, but rather we lay hands and pray, asking that the person would receive the baptism that comes from Jesus Christ. And the faith in every prayer is not in what we have, but rather in who Jesus is and the promise and declaration of the Holy Spirit. So let's always remember that and pray when we baptize for others to receive the Spirit. Let's look at verse 21 now. Point number 69 is to make plans and set purposes. Notice this, to make plans and set purposes. We need the Spirit. In 19, verse 21, it says, "And when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome." How do you purpose in the Spirit? How do you plan in the Spirit? You know, it talks about that in the Psalms, you know, trust in the Lord with all your might, you know, and he will direct your paths. He will lead you in the ways of righteousness. If you look both in the Psalms and in the Proverbs, there's a lot of instruction in regard to this. But when you put your plans before God and say, "God, I would like to do this. God, here's what I want." Or you're praying, "God, what do you want?" And God is directing you where to go and what to do. It is purposed in the Spirit what will happen. There's almost no better confidence in the world that I experience as far as direction in life than when I know what God wants me to do and he says, "Now do it. Just do it." Because if you know that God wants you to do it, then you know that he will give you the strength to do it. And what it looks like doesn't matter, because even if it all falls to pot, if God wants you to do it, do it. You know, I'm sure it wasn't always a great thing to be a prophet when he was sending prophets into cities and into nations and the prophets were being killed. But to God, they were doing exactly what he wanted. They were going and bringing forth a witness. And though they were destroyed so many times, as Jesus said, "You killed the prophets that were sent to you." But they did God's will. To know what God wants you to do is the confidence that you have. It matters not what you see, of what the fruit looks like to a human being, but to know what God wants you to do and to fulfill it to his honor and glory. There's no greater thing that gives confidence in the way you are spending your life and your time than to know what God desires of you and to do it. So how do you have this? You pray for God to bless you with the Spirit to help you make godly plans and godly purposes for your life. One of the things that God has shown me through all of this time at home and not going to the office regularly and not being out, I travel a lot. I usually am on a plane at least 4 to 5, 6 times a month. I'm flying at least a leg of a flight somewhere. And being home has shown me how important it is to remember that the purposes and plans have to come from God and how important having goals are. Remembering that that is what drives so much in life is to remember, what am I doing with my day? It's really easy when you're like, wow, I don't have any meetings this morning. Usually my day is booked. It took me a few weeks to adjust. I was kind of busy at first, and then it was like it dried up. The emails dried up, the calls dried up, the meetings dried up, have way less. So what you're expecting to leave is flexibility for volume to come in. The volume hasn't come. You have to shift and say, God, I have more time now. What am I going to do with this time? And shifting the purposes. And so hopefully you're thinking in those terms of, what is God's purpose for me today? Because you can turn on CNN like I did last night and you watch 90 minutes. You're like, what happened? All of a sudden the time can be gone. It can be for good purposes or not. But make the plan with God is what my encouragement is to you. Make plans and set your purposes with God. Notice in Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, it says this, Acts 20, verse 22 to 25. And see, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now, if you knew that chains and tribulations were awaiting you, how would you respond to that? Not going. Good answer. Maybe. I want you to think about this, because Paul is recognizing that the Holy Spirit is testifying that chains and tribulations await him. But notice verse 24, but none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. So the thing here on this point is to ask God to bless us with His Spirit so that we can be warned about what is coming, but also to give us confidence in what to do after we get that information. Just because you're warned about something doesn't mean you're supposed to run from the thing. Maybe you're being warned to prepare your heart and mind for what is ahead. And the thing is, when you receive communication and word from the Lord about things that are coming, please ask, what do I do with this? The number of times I've received warning from God in my life, and most of the time, I got to tell you, the answer is don't do anything. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Many years ago, I was told about somebody that was trying to create division in this church, that was trying to break up the pastors and break up the church and break up what was going on here. Literally wanted me out, and God came to me in the night, told me everything. And I said, what do I do about it? And the answer is nothing. It is so amazing how in my life, I can think back even to the time as a child, when my dad had left my mom, I was in time of great sorrow, and I used to sit in a chair in my family room and just try to capture, you know, at 9 years old, what it meant that my dad was left the house and he's not coming back. And I can remember sitting in a chair and just crying. And God just let me know that my dad was going to marry another woman right there at 9 years old. And I started bawling. I just started bawling. I was so hurt, but I don't know how I knew. I just knew my dad was going to marry another woman. And literally, like the next weekend, I went to my dad's house and there she was, the woman he was going to marry. And I think back of that as an adult, and it's like, God, you were so tender with me. Because you knew how overwhelming it would be to me. You warned me before it happened. It didn't mean it wasn't going to happen. It didn't mean it was going to change what was going to happen. It didn't mean that I wasn't going to meet her. It didn't mean that it wasn't going to hurt. What it meant was, I'm warning you because you need to know what's coming. The same with the person that was causing division. It wasn't my job to manage it. It was God's job and Christ's job to manage it. But here's what's happening, because you're going to be brokenhearted. You're going to be hurt. And I'm warning you what's coming. And God is so faithful. And it's something that I constantly pray for. God, warn me of the things I cannot yet see. Teach me that I might know what is coming, that I might prepare my heart and my mind for what is. You know, what a beautiful thing even to know. Like, Jesus himself knew of what was coming in his death. And he goes with his disciples and asks them to pray. And he cries out to God and saying, I'm filled with such sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prays that, you know, and asks God actually to remove it. If it's possible, remove the cup. And he said, God, all things are possible with you. If it's possible, move this cup. But not my will, but yours be done. He prepared his heart for what he was going to go through. So ask God to help you prepare your heart for things that you will face that are heartbreaking, that are hurtful, to have the advantage of the Holy Spirit to give you knowledge of what's coming, that your heart can be prepared. Because one of the worst things that can happen to us is when we get caught off guard, we can just respond in emotion. Dave gave a really good speech about this the other night and how God helped him to overcome just emotion of responding rather than seeking out a place and knowing that God wants us to be not reactive but proactive. He wants us to be like him in situations, and it's that knowledge that can help so much. So let's pray that God would bless us to warn us of what's coming. Notice down in verse 28 now, Acts 20:28, it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church, which he purchased with his own blood. So we ask for the Holy Spirit to make us overseers to shepherd the church of God. We actually spoke about this in the teaching section at the School of Ministry this last week, but really it was in every single speech of the night was talking about shepherding and talking about leadership and talking about what it is to be persecuted and what it is to sacrifice and lay down for the body of Christ, and the need that we have for our shepherds, and the need that we have to understand how we do shepherd in our lives and our overseers in the things that are around us in our lives, that we would shepherd the church of God. Do you ever think about the fact that every person that you come in contact with, in some sense, you are your brother's keeper? In some sense, you can help shepherd that part of the body of Christ. And so often we look at it as a title that maybe goes to a pastor, but it's maybe a larger role to a larger group. But the reality is that you with your children are shepherding. You in your marriages are shepherding. You in your friendships are shepherding. What are you shepherding to? Are you edifying? Are you building up? And knowing that that power comes by the Holy Spirit, pray that God would bless you to be able to be a good, friendly shepherd to the people that you're with, that the influence you would have is to bring them to Christ and not to sin, to bring them in the ways of righteousness and not paths of destruction, that you would lift them up, encourage them, exhort, comfort, edify by the Spirit. And who is it that appoints to those positions? It's the Holy Spirit. So pray that the Holy Spirit would support in that, and also that the Holy Spirit would raise up shepherds in the church, so that those that begin as a part of a congregation can go shepherd in other places and shepherd others also. That's the multiplication process of the church. That shepherds beget shepherds, and they go and shepherd the flock of Christ wherever God may lead them. Notice in Acts chapter 21 now in verse 4. So that was point 71. Pray the Holy Spirit to be made an effective overseer and shepherd to the church of God, and to raise up shepherds for the church. 72. Notice here in Acts 21, verse 4, it is to personally warn another. Acts 21, verse 4. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. So now that somebody else is being told by the Holy Spirit to give Paul a specific warning. And notice in verse 10, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him to not go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. Warnings to be given to somebody else, not just to be warned yourself, but now to have a warning about what might be coming in somebody else's life, to help them prepare, to help them see which way to go. But you don't always know. And here's, again, going back to this point, one of the key things of life is just because something that you would judge to be bad is coming doesn't mean that it's not God's will that it's going to happen. When Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be taken and crucified, what did Peter say? No way! And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan, adversary. What was Peter being an adversary to? The will of God. The reason that Jesus was on earth. Jesus was on earth for many reasons. He fulfilled many purposes. One of them looks very unjust, doesn't it? At least one. There's actually a lot more than that. But this one, a great injustice, and through the greatest injustice that ever happened, he justified many. Is it worth it that God would give his son to justify the world? In God's eyes, he judged, yes. I will give my son for the whole world. Jesus laid down his life for the whole world. The purpose was to do it. It wasn't about trying to stop it. It was understanding the will of God. And when Jesus said that, he was not loving Peter. He's saying, Peter, you're standing against what God wants. I'm telling you what's going to happen. This is going to happen. I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be crucified. And when you're saying no, you're actually standing against what has to happen, even for Peter's own sake. Realize that warnings come to help. Even Jesus' warning to Peter himself when he said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Why did he tell Peter that? He wasn't telling them that just to show off. He was telling him what was coming. And when Peter went through that and denied, what happened? It said, Peter, remember, Peter saw him. They connected eyes. The Lord was right there looking at him. As one of the gospel accounts says, he was looking at him. And Peter was looking at his Lord. And when he went out and he repented and cried, it became a turning point. And God sometimes will lead us to these points of allowing us to go through failures and allowing us to go through things that seem so wrong so that he can get us from scratch and rebuild us up. And when he was resurrected from the dead, what did he say to the 3 times that Peter denied? He said, feed my sheep, feed my flock. Jesus wasn't against Peter. Jesus was for Peter. Jesus was telling Peter what was going to happen. Jesus was telling Peter what he was going to do. Jesus was working with Peter the whole time in love, knowing that he was helping Peter through the moments that would get him to the place that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who stood up and preached to everyone with boldness and confidence, saying, you put him to death. And it says they were cut to the heart and said, what do we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter was changed through the process, through the death and resurrection and the ascension of God and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the one who was bold but then would deny became the one who would stand and cry aloud, repent. And my friends, we need God's Spirit to warn us so that we can be prepared in heart and mind for the things that are coming in our lives. And so let's ask that God would help us to be warned and to warn our friends. And all this happens by the Holy Spirit. But one thing I want you to note on all of this. Think about the intimacy of all of this. That God wants to be in fellowship with you. That He will reveal things that He knows to you so that you, whether to affect your own life or to affect others' lives, it can be shared. Other people can share too. When you receive a word, test it. Ask God, is this from you? Ask Him to help you understand and to discern the spirits. So let's pray and ask for the Spirit to help others, to be able to warn when needed. Let's turn over to Romans 5, verse 5 now. Romans 5 and verse 5, where it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's pray that God would pour His love into our hearts by His Spirit. What a beautiful prayer to ask every day. God, pour Your love into my heart by Your Holy Spirit. Let it be filled up and flowing out and overflowing. Turn over to Romans 8, verse 9 now. Romans 8 in verse 9, where it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. How do you receive the Spirit of God? You ask in faith. You expect in faith. You believe that you receive and look to God to give it to you. That's the way. The Spirit does not come by works of the law. It does not come by your own work. It comes by faith in believing in Jesus Christ to receive of the Spirit that you would be transformed, that you would come alive by Christ Jesus. And so he says here in verse 9, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So we pray for the Spirit that we may walk in the Spirit and be Jesus, that we would be his disciples. This is how we become his. He says, if you do not have it, you're not his. We need the Holy Spirit desperately to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Notice down in verse 11 where it says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So we sing today like about coming from the ashes. We come from dead places. One of the things about where we are is to realize that without Christ, we are tohu and bohu. We are nothing. We're waste. And one of the things that we could look at even in the scriptures, when people felt completely down before God, what would they do? They would fast in sackcloth and ashes. They put ashes on themselves, on their heads. What were they picturing? What were they depicting? I'm done. I'm completely demolished here. I'm totally broken. And in our lives, my friends, the Holy Spirit comes to those who are broken, to those who realize they are dust and ashes. Without the Holy Spirit, our lives will not be what God made us to be. He has to breathe in us the breath of life. Bronte was quoting the verse about the dry bones. It's by the Spirit of God breathing newness that the dead become alive again. And we need God in us to revive us, to bring us back from dust and ashes to the place where the Spirit of God resides in us, that we're not walking as dead men and women around anymore, proclaiming the name of Jesus, but alive in the Spirit of God, where the proclamation is written in our lives, where what comes out is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faith and meekness and self-control, that our lives are being given to God, that we have a humility before God and before one another, that our life's pursuit is all for Him, pursuing Jesus Christ. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not His. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not His. Your bodies are just walking dust and ash. We are dead without Him. We are alive because of Him. Life comes by the Spirit of God. If you know these words to be true, let me ask you, then how desperate are you for God's Spirit in you all the time? To yield to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to have the humility to say, I need you, God. Because what is real surrender other than yielding to say, I have a desperate need. I have no life apart from the life you give me, God, by your Spirit. And if we can't humble ourselves before God to be in that place of heart that I have a desperate need for you to continually pour out life to me, God, then where are we? Every day is a choice. Will we walk in the Spirit or will we fulfill the lust of the flesh? One leads to life and one leads to death. One marks a person in the world and one marks a disciple of Jesus. Every day we need you, God, because if we don't have your Spirit, we are not yours. Notice in verse 14 now, Romans 8 and verse 14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's awesome. You talk about giving beauty for ashes. There's beauty for ashes. There is beauty for ashes right there. That those who were dust and dirt can become, for the glory of God, a child of God. Do you see yourself as a child of God? It's one of the most elementary things to believe that Christ took away all your sins that you might become the righteousness of God. And it is in that faith that you receive the Holy Spirit. And it is in that faith that you walk in the Spirit and can overcome the things of this world and of the flesh. To be a child of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We can cry out, Abba, Father, for the intimacy. And so as we look at these verses, verse 14 there, to be led by the Spirit. How important is that? How much do you desire to be led by the Spirit? And then in verses 14 to 17, to be adopted as the child of God. We pray for the Holy Spirit that we might be adopted to be children of God. Notice there in verse 17, I didn't read that. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we might be glorified together. God wants us to be an heir of his. And Jesus died for us that we might be a joint heir with him. Turn with me now to verse 26, Romans 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Just that one phrase. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel destitute? Do you ever feel in need of help? Do you ever feel like, I just don't know? I don't have the wealth or the riches or the intelligence or the power or the strength or the fortitude? Pray and expect, Father, bless me with the Holy Spirit to help me in my weaknesses. Every one of us have trials in our lives of various and different sorts. We all have weaknesses. And God is encouraging us to remember that the Spirit is given to us to help us through the weaknesses. Do you remember when Paul cried out? He said, I've got this, remove this thorn in my flesh. 3 times he cried out for God's deliverance. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I am made strong. And what happened was, Paul, through the weakness, ended up being made strong. How can the Holy Spirit help you to endure weaknesses, to endure challenges, to endure the thorns in your flesh, to bring glory to God? You see, there is a miracle taking place through the weaknesses. Don't always think that the goal is to get rid of the weaknesses, because sometimes the goal is to go through the weaknesses, to go through the trials, to go through the persecution, to go through the martyrdom. Paul said, I know what's going on. I'm not deterred by it. I'm actually being strengthened by you guys reminding me of putting in my mind what's going to happen, because I'm going to go through it for the glory of God. And maybe some of you are going through hard trials, sore trials. Do it for the glory of God. And whether you're delivered out of it completely or you're delivered through it, if you have the faith in God, you will be delivered. Because whether in this world or in the day of your resurrection, you will be raised up and glorified. And what a beautiful, shining thing to say that in your weakness, in your pain, in your weakness, you came to me and I was your God. And that testimony will last for eternity. What happens here is but for a moment. But what is working out in us is an eternal weight of glory that shall not perish, that Christ will give to every one of those who are His on the day of His coming. Woo! The resurrection of the dead is in your hands. The promise has been given. Accept and believe. And realize this mortal must put on immortality. We are not trying to perfect this body. We're trying to get out of the body in the way Christ would have us do it. And He gives life to our mortal bodies, and He gives strength in our weaknesses to help us through whatever things we face. Whether weakness is a body, mind, spirit, wealth, strength, whatever it is, let God be your helper. And walk with Him through it. And notice, not only we can pray for the Spirit to help us in our weaknesses, but it says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession according to God's will. What a perfect place to be. What a glorious thing to say. Every time you're in prayer and you're like, I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't even know what to say. Great. Let's let one that knows perfectly the will of God pray for us. The Holy Spirit. To pray according to the will of God. To make intercession for us. What a beautiful thing and what a beautiful work of the Holy Spirit. Do we appreciate that love and that commitment? We really should. Turn with me now over to Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I loved when Jesus would cast the demon out or He would heal somebody. And He'd say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. A taste of the righteousness, the peace, and the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's the essence of the kingdom of God. I want you to experience that all the time in your life. It would be my great desire that the Spirit would be leading us as a body of believers in the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. To have that and to know that is what the kingdom of God is doing, because in the kingdom there is healing. In the kingdom there is deliverance and salvation. In the kingdom there are the things that God desires that can last forever, because it works for everyone. The kingdom is an eternal kingdom that will never be given into the hands of a corrupt man, but will always be in the hands of Christ and the saints. And the rulership will never end, because the kingdom is on His shoulders and He will administer it with judgment and justice. There will be no more injustice. We won't be picking up our phones and watching the injustices of our world and the horror and the tragedy and the harm. We will be watching God. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. As waters cover the sea, so will the earth be filled. And they will say, come, let us go to the mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He is coming, my friends. Put our heart and attention on preparing for His coming. Let the Spirit of the Baptist be on us as well, that we may signal and call out, Christ is coming again. And may our lives always be in preparation for the coronation of the King, when it will happen at the sound of a trumpet, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise the Lord for that. Turn with me over to Romans 15, verse 13. I'll put all these points again on the internet because I know I stopped calling out numbers a while ago. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's almost nothing in life that sets you free more than hope. It's amazing how down you can be about something and hope somehow ignites a light. It's an amazing thing how just a little bit of hope. I see this in business. So with all this COVID action, my business dropped. We lost over 80% of our revenue. Literally in 2 weeks, it just went boom and then boom and it was down. What do you do? Well, you got to make a lot of cuts. You got to make a lot of changes. You're trying to survive through it. But what's happened from that bottom is every week now our revenues are going up, and we've actually doubled off of our bottom. We're still way off the top, but it's doubled from the bottom. But you know what that doubling off the bottom does? It gives everybody hope. It infuses energy into people. It's like, hey, it's starting to look better for us, and we're not hemorrhaging like we were 5 weeks ago. Things are looking better. A little bit of hope. Now, if a little bit of hope in business is the increasing of revenues and things coming back off of a really low bottom, if that can create hope in us, how much more can the Holy Spirit create hope in us when he shows us where we're headed, when he shows us the kingdom of God? See, God pours out the Spirit into us to have a fellowship and a communion so that we don't become despondent. We don't become depressed, because we can look at things that are going on in the world and the injustices, and we can get really down. And remember that what you set your mind on is what you will become. If you look at darkness, you will become dark. And if you look at light, you will become light. You have to stay focused on Christ. This is one of the most important lessons in all of Scripture. You've got to stay focused on the truth. It doesn't mean you turn your eyes away from darkness and don't acknowledge when it's there. It's not saying live in blindness or naivety. It's saying have the wisdom to know that when you see it, you cannot embrace it. You cannot be baptized into injustice and come away unscathed. You need to be baptized into the Spirit, where there is no injustice, where the thinking is righteous and holy and just and true, that you would shine as a light in the midst of darkness and injustice, that your thinking would tend the right way, and what you do to those around is lift up to Christ. Every warning of tragedy is to lift up. Remember what it says, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We should know what's coming. We should see what's happening. But we should remember that we are to be spiritually diligent, to be watching and praying, to remember that we should be seeking the Holy Spirit to guide us, to warn us, to direct us in all things, and have a confidence in God and in the Spirit given to us that he will lead us and take us on the right path, whether through tragedy or whether through escape. My friends, as long as we're doing it with God by faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are on the right track. We do not know what will happen ahead of us. We are not all warned of the end of our very last day. But what we do know is that our lives can be for the glory of God every day. Every day. So we die daily that Christ may live in us. And we worship and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask for the righteousness, peace, and joy. And we ask for the hope of the kingdom. Look at Romans 15, verse 16 with me right now. Romans 15, 16. And Paul said that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So what is our aim? To help others receive the Holy Spirit. To not just to agree with us. It's that they would receive the Holy Spirit and be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray that God would bless us with the Holy Spirit to sanctify believers as an offering to him. That's Romans 15, 16. And continuing on in verse 18, where it says, For I dare not speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. How? In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ by the power of God. And so to make the Gentiles obedient by the power of God through mighty signs and wonders in the preaching of the gospel. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice with me here in verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. We have to remember that. The wisdom of this age and the rulers of this age, they're coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. See, that's the thing about society. Man's law and man's wisdom is constantly changing. God doesn't have to change his wisdom and his law. It keeps going on. It works all the time in every generation. And what does he say? For none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. It may not have entered into the heart of man by man's own reason and rationale and wisdom, but God, by his Spirit, can show you exactly why he prepared you and exactly what he prepared you for and the things that God has prepared for those who love him. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we ask God for his Spirit, that he would reveal the deep things to us, that we would have an understanding of the deep things. And notice it even dropping down here specifically. Verse 13, these things we also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does that mean to you? That the Holy Spirit teaches you how to compare spiritual things with spiritual. You see, that doesn't even come into the heart of man. Man doesn't even think in those terms. But what is it to be spiritual and to understand the comparison between a spiritual thing and a spiritual thing? And to make the comparison before God, it comes by the Holy Spirit to even be understanding and discerning of the comparisons that are to be made. And so we ask God to reveal the deep things to us. And point number 85 here was to receive teaching on how to compare spiritual things with spiritual, that we also might have the mind of Christ. My friends, there is no other way to be disciples other than by the Spirit of God. We can't be individually members except by the Spirit of God, and we can't be the church together except by the Spirit of God. And as we continue on this list, I hope that you're seeing week after week, as we just journey through the scriptures together, as we just look at these things that God is teaching about the Holy Spirit, he's inviting us to join together as a group of believers to say, God, we need these things in our body. And so knowing this is important, but believing it is way more important. And asking, seeking, and knocking is what I'm asking of each of us to continually do. So I encourage you, as we go and you build this list, that you continue to take the time to be praying daily, to set aside time. You don't have to go through the whole list. Just pray a few points. Pray till you know that that is what you needed to pray about that day. But I'm asking you, please, for the good of the church and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Pray that God would bless us with His Spirit, that we would keep our minds on the things that we really need, because it's more than food and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's praise Him.